Welcome to Centerpoint Church, where we are all about loving and leading people to a life-changing connection with Christ. We're so excited that you decided to join us today, and we believe that no matter where you're listening from, this message will enhance your connection with Christ. We hope you enjoy this message.
Sunday to everyone that's here today, and I just want to say hello to my deaf community. Thank you for being here today. Good to have you guys with us. Also got to give a shout out to my buddy Anthony over here. He knows who he is. This young man was singing at the top of his lungs during worship and blessing me more than he knows. Good job, Anthony. So good. Well, it is so good to be with you guys today. Like I said, it's Palm Sunday. Stay tuned. I'll have more on that at the end of the message, but I'm so glad that you're with us today. So if you've been here for the last several weeks during our FAM series, you've noticed that we've had this set up with some VHS cassettes on the side that are not here today, but they've been here, and this amazing TV backdrop. How many here has this reminded you of your childhood? Isn't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hands going up right away. I remember the days of the remote not working, actually even before remotes, having to actually walk to the TV. Remember those days? Like walking to the TV to turn it on and off, turning the volume up and down. There was no streaming back in our times growing up. You had to actually go to a video store. How many remember Blockbuster Video? Come on, Blockbuster Video. Incredible. The place, if you forgot to rewind your VHS cassette, you got charged an extra fee for that. But Blockbuster Video back in the day was kind of a place of community. It's where you would go with your family and friends to take about 3 hours to maybe pick one movie. People would like load up with different options, and then you come together and you'd vote and discuss it, and then you'd put them all back, and then maybe sometimes restart again. And eventually, if you were lucky, you would leave there with something that everyone would like. But I loved going to Blockbuster Video because I love the sense of community that was involved in that process. I mean, we've kind of lost that a little bit these days, right? All we gotta do is turn on Netflix or something and just click play, and whatever we want is right there. But it reminds me of the importance of community in our life. How much it was important to me growing up, how much important it should be to us now. We've been in this FAM series for several weeks now, talking about marriage and parenting and all kinds of goodness about needing a sense of family, fam, in our life, how important it is to not do life alone. And today we're gonna be talking about community as we close out our fam series. Now, I don't know about you, but there was this thing that really impacted me a few years back. It was called COVID. Anybody remember that? In fact, when you say COVID, you can't even really say it with excitement, right? It's more like COVID, you know, it's like, I don't even really want to say that anymore. But during that season of life that we all had to endure, it was hard, especially if you're an extrovert. It was hard for everyone. But me being an extrovert, I love being around people. I actually am one of those rare people, I think, that gets energy off of being around people. And so being locked up in my house all day with my amazing wife and two kids and two dogs for weeks on end, waiting for the 14 days to stop the spread to end, was really, did you catch that? You got it. But it was really getting very hard. And in fact, I remember talking to a friend who I was asking him, hey, like, what are you doing to cope with this? And he said, well, I talked to this guy the other day who said he's watching Netflix and it's helping him cope with it. And I'm like, oh, really? What show is he watching on Netflix? He said, no, he watched all of Netflix. Netflix. Like, wow, that's commitment. That's amazing. I remember that I was missing a lot, actually, going to the office. Going and just, you know, like when you don't have that anymore, you start to miss it, a community of people you work with. And so my wife and I, we found our way to go to the office every day, right there. Those people got me through COVID, and Jesus, of course. But what my big takeaway from that season of life is how important community is, that we need community so bad. We weren't made for isolation. We weren't made to be alone. In fact, even in some of Hollywood's biggest blockbusters, this fact is present right before our eyes. Some of you may remember this community of people right here. Let me show. Oh, yeah, look at that. Yep, the Avengers right there. That's a community that made about $2 billion. Good for them. Okay, let's check out this other one right here. Oh, the Fellowship of the Ring. Any Lord of the Rings fans out there? What would that journey have been if just, whoa, okay, we're going to Goonies next. Okay. Goonies. How many remember Goonies from the 80s? Come on. Yeah, Goonies from the 80s. This community of friends getting together to find the treasure, but they needed each other. They had to do it together. And wait, don't show this last one yet. I've saved the best movie. No, actually there is one more before the best movie. How many remember these two? Yeah, everyone remembers them, right? Batman and Robin. Batman couldn't do it without himself. There's been about 60,000 versions of this duo. But the best movie of all time for me that represents community. Here we go. Show them on the screen. There we go. Come on. Han, Luke, and Leia needed one another. They needed one another to defeat the dark side. All right. Well, now that we've got our pop culture nerd pinging today, we were created for community. God created us to be a part of a community in the body of Christ. You see, our culture wants to tell us that having casual relationships, superficial relationships is enough. It'll get you by. And if you don't believe me, I just got two words for you, social media. Social media gives you this this feeling of acceptance and value when you get a like, right? When people like you, when people want to be your friend. It's a temporary high. But what I learned after years of being on social media is that it never actually really scratched the itch of relationship. Never does. In fact, sometimes I'd run into people who were my friend on social media and they weren't my friend in reality. In fact, many times I didn't even know who I was. And I made sure they knew who I was. No, I'm kidding. But the reality is that we were created for something more, not for casual, superficial relationships like maybe our culture says we'll satisfy. You see, God created us for something deeper. These kind of superficial relationships, they can't provide what Jesus dreams for each of us. Yeah, there's a dream that God has for our lives that involves community. It can't catch what Jesus died for each person. Superficial relationships can't provide the same kind of community with one another that makes the world stop and take notice. You know, last I checked, it was a good thing for the church to be different than what the world does. And yet how many times, and I'm in this boat too, sometimes do we emulate what the world does? It's almost as if it's more important than what God's word has to say. And I think the Lord wants to get a hold of us this morning and remind us, you were created for a community. You were created to do life with other people. You see, only in the church can you find the kind of community that brings relational health, that brings vitality and purpose for your life. You can have relationships outside of here, but what I'm going to contend for this morning is that, you know, the kind of friends we have that don't align with what God wants to do in our life, you're still missing something in that relationship. The friends who love Jesus, who are close with you, and not only want to see you be the best version of you that you can be, but want you to be obedient to what God has for your life, man, that's the highest level of friendship. That's the one that transcends, right? And that's the one that gives you relational health and vitality. There's nothing superficial about that. But it's so easy to get wrapped up in our own lives. It's so easy to get consumed with ourselves and think that it's about my bubble. It's about my issues, my bills I need to pay, my challenges at work, the issues I have with my family, whatever the it may be, my health. And we become consumed with ourselves. And before we even know it, we go through a season of life of everything being superficial. Everything kind of boils down to mingling with people. We just mingle. We say hi to them when we get a cup of coffee or wave at them. And all of that's nice, but you need more than that in your life. And you might be sitting here right now thinking, well, that is pretty much the height of my relation, my kind of relational connect in my life right now. And I believe the Lord will want to tap on our heart and say, I have something more for you. I have a community waiting for you that wants to help you become the men and women of God that He wants us to be. You see, here's the deal. God didn't intend for us to live in isolation. He specifically designed us to thrive in meaningful relationship with other people. If there's one thing I know, or that I, let me say this. I'm gonna say the word again, and I apologize, but during COVID, there's one thing that I remember thinking in my own spiritual journey during that season is that the enemy wants to keep God's people isolated. He wants to divide. He wants us to be alone. You know, whenever you watch those animal shows like on National Geographic and you see the one animal who gets caught from the pack, it's usually the animal that veers off and is alone. That's what the prey tends, or that's what the hunter, whatever it may be, the lion tries to get. And I believe it's exactly what the enemy does with each one of us, the men and women of God. He tries to pick us off. And by picking us off, he may just make you feel like you're totally irrelevant. Like God, your best days are behind you, whatever it may be. But when you're alone, you're vulnerable is what I want you to hear. You're vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. And I want to remind us today that God created you for community. Here's the main point, okay? Everyone say this with me. We're at our best when we're experiencing life with others in an authentic community. Let's say that one more time. We're at our best when we're experiencing life with others in authentic community. Okay, this is for everyone, by the way. Whether you're single or married or somewhere in between single and married, I guess it would be mingle. This is for everyone. We all need community. I read this quote from a church leader, and this is what this church leader said. The paradox of our age is that we've never been more connected as a culture through social media, and yet we've never felt more alone. The ache of our loneliness today is an echo of the very first problem recorded in the Bible. It is the crisis of relationship and community. I believe that we're living in this crisis moment in our culture and in our world. This quote referenced something, it talked about the very first problem recorded in Scripture. Now, if I was to ask you what the first problem recorded in Scripture is, probably a lot of people would say the fall of Adam and Eve when sin entered in the world. But actually, the first problem addressed was in Genesis 2:18. When God says, it is not good for man to be alone. It was the first moment in God's creation that's like, we're gonna have to tweak something here. Because God realized that at that point, that even with all the amazing things God had created, man needed partnership, man needed community. So God addressed that problem, created Eve. We need people in our life. We cannot do this alone. Let me tell you a story. So a few years back, I was in Ireland doing a wedding. I was invited to do a wedding in Ireland. It was a wonderful opportunity. We had a great time. And on one of our free days, my wife and I had the brilliant idea. Well, they filmed Star Wars on this amazing island here called Skellig Michael Island. Let's take a boat out there and let's hike it and see where they filmed the movie. And so It all started out great, right? This is the proverbial three-hour tour, Gilligan's Island. It all started out great. We get on this little boat in this quiet little Irish fisherman's village. In fact, the fisherman's village, you're never going to believe this. My last name's McGee. It was called Port McGee. It was meant to be. And so we get on this boat with this fisherman, the captain of the boat's this Irishman, and is, you know, sounding really good. I think he wanted us to eat fish and chips. I don't know what he's saying, but it was awesome. And so we start going through this harbor, and it's real quiet. And then we get out onto the main ocean, into the ocean. And all of a sudden, in this little 12-person boat, these waves start coming. And they get bigger and bigger to the point where they're splashing in on the boat. The waves are splashing in. Now, I don't know about you, but my vision of a nice boat ride does not involve water coming into the boat. There was lots of water. We were soaking wet. 2 hours of this, guys. 2 hours. While we're going there, we find out from the captain that we actually may not be able to dock and actually let you on the island. We won't know until we get there. And if we can dock, great, you'll get to experience it. If not, it'll just be a wonderful boat ride back, 2 hours. So thanks for letting us know after we're on the boat. So we finally get there. Okay, we're able to dock. Hallelujah, we're on the island. It's gonna be glorious now. We finally made it. And with my wife and our daughter and some of her friends were there too. And so the very first thing they do when you get on the island is they give you a speech about all the people who died in the last year doing this hike. Like, this is going from bad to worse. We just did the boat ride from hell, now the speech from hell. It's like, Lord, what's going on here? And literally they put the fear of God in you, and then they say, okay, go have fun, hike. Okay. So, you know, like literally, even the first little step, you're like, oh, okay, I made it. I think I can do this. And so we get about halfway up, and they warn you about the puffin birds. You'll want to pet them, but don't pet them because that's how people die, because they reach over to pet them and then they fall off the cliff. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to want to pet one of these birds. Well, lo and behold, I start walking up, right? Angel, they're the most adorable things you've ever seen in your life. I wanted to take one home with me. I mean, they're so cute, and of course, you know, Angel reminded me, don't try and pet the birds. Remember, they said people die. thank you. That's right. Thank you for the reminder. So we keep hiking, and we get, you know, way up. And the goal when you're at this island is to get to the top and see this 2,000-year-old Christian monastery. There's these bee hut hive things that these Christian monks built 2,000 years ago. And it was supposed to be, like, at that time, the most isolated place on planet Earth, which many people thought the more isolated you were, the closer you were to God. Anyways, that's why they built it on this island. So we're almost to the top, and it's just getting gnarly. It's like 1,000 feet straight down, and you're on these 2,000-year-old steps. Every step's different shape, and the wind's blowing. And I'm sitting down, and I'm getting, I'm just scared out of my mind. And I tell Angel, I can't do it. I cannot make it to the top. She's like, are you kidding me? We have come all this way, spent all this money. You're going to do this. You can do this. And I'm like, I get tears coming down my face. I'm like, I cannot do this. I just want to give up. I just want to go back down. And she stopped me again. And she said, look at how far you've come. Look at how beautiful this is. She's all, Just take a deep breath. God's with you. I'm with you. And you're going to be able to do this. She grabbed my hand. By the way, my wife's name's Angel, so I have my guardian angel with me. She grabbed my hand and helped me stand up. And right from that spot we were at, I didn't know it. We were literally, I'm not kidding, guys, we were about 50 feet away from the end of this hike, but I couldn't tell because of the curve. We were that close, and I almost gave up after all that effort. And what I realized is I would not have finished that hike without my wife. Oh, yeah. Well, props to you, hon. There you go. That'll be your anniversary gift next year. I'm kidding. But I realized how important it was that I had her. I almost gave up. How many of you, metaphorically speaking, are in that same situation in your life right now? You've come a long ways. You've been through a lot to get where you're at, and you're at a difficult point, and you're wanting to give up. Maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your job, maybe it's something else, maybe it's with your health, whatever it may be. I think there are people here who can relate to that in your life right now. And to me, that story is a reminder that God wants to say, you're not alone. Take my hand, join a community of friends who will help you finish strong, because you're closer to the dream than you realize. And the Lord doesn't want you to give up. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 says it like this. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. This passage reminds us that we were created for community. The title of my message today is We're All in This Together. Yes, it's from High School Musical, but I like the title of it. I apologize in advance because we are all in this together. We need one another. We cannot do it alone. Amen. Jesus taught us to do community all throughout the New Testament. He was with his disciples for his entire 3 years of ministry. And there was more disciples beyond those 12. Jesus had a community wherever he went. He modeled this to us. And you know, those 12 disciples in Acts chapter 2, we learn those 12 disciples launched the church as we know it today. In Acts 2:42, it said, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Here's the key to catch. The church was founded on community. The church as we know it today was a small group meeting in someone's house back when it launched. And then all of a sudden, more groups, more communities sprung up. And before you know it, the church was taking over and having influence throughout the known world at that time. And to this very day, this is still what the church is about. God created his people to be in community. The Greek word for this is fellowship, or koinonia, which means fellowship. This is God's design for the church. He designed the church for community. So my first point today is this. A church community or small group creates environments where authentic relationships can take place. A church community creates environments where authentic communities can take place. Here's the key to that word. It's authentic. Authentic is something real. It's something meaningful. It's something deep inside of you. It's when you know something is real. That's what authentic is. The church has always been a place for community. In fact, in short, life is better together. I keep hearing this saying, and you probably heard it too, that live your best life, right? Or I'm living my best life, or that person's living their best life. But if they're living their best life, and they're alone, they're not living their best life. I guarantee you that. People that you see on social media, or let's just say famous people, you'll often hear them say when they're being interviewed, I always feel alone. These people who you think have it all, they're the most outgoing people, the people that seem to have everyone, but they're alone because they're missing an authentic community, a real community that wants to make a difference. As we're in this series about fam, to really understand fam, it's about connections to things. It's about meaningful connections. And I can't think of anything more meaningful in a church context than getting to know the fam of your church, the community of your church. My parents have had a small group that has been in their home for over 20 years. And I've watched them model to me through their small group that meets in their home almost every week. Model to me what a community is. When one person's been sick, the others have rallied around. When one person couldn't pay their bills, the others rallied around. When someone was struggling with their faith, the others rallied around. And I've seen this for many years through my parents. And I have to say that God created us to live that way in a community of people where we know people have our back. Do you know who has your back? If everything was falling apart in your life and nothing was going the way that you wanted it to, and you were down and out and seemingly at your last point, sitting like I was at the top of that island, ready to give up, would someone be there to reach out their hand for you? Would friends come and rally around you and say, we're gonna see you through, we're gonna finish this together as a community? I want you to answer that question in your heart and let God speak to you how he would. I was known for a long time for the guy that would take way too many people to see a really good movie that comes out. Anytime a good movie came out, I would invite like as many people as I could, and we'd, you know, pack out the theater. And the reason I did this was because I don't like seeing movies alone. In fact, you will never see me in a movie theater or even sitting in front of my TV at home watching a movie alone. I just don't, right, Angel? I don't. Because for me, the fun of watching a movie is watching it with people I know and care about. I want to high five. I want to respond. I want to eat their popcorn that they paid for so I don't have to pay for it. I want to have the conversation after the movie. Well, this is what we like. This is what we didn't like, you know. But I love that community just from something as simple as going to see a movie. If it is important for a movie, how much more important is it for your relationship with the Lord, for your walk with Jesus? God created us for authentic community. Point number two, being a part of a church community is where we can experience a greater relationship with Jesus. Being a part of a church community is where we can experience a greater relationship with Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, "So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing." We need to encourage one another and build each other up. As we're doing that, our relationship with Jesus gets stronger and grows because we realize more and more who God created us to be. We're growing in our faith by growing with other people. Galatians 6:2 says this, "Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ." Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. You see, as we're sharing the burdens of other people, in other words, doing life with other people, having community with other people, we are obeying God. We're obeying what God created us for. We're doing the thing that He says, "I want you to do. I don't want you to go through life alone." You'll never experience the fullness of who I've created you to be if you're just doing it by yourself. And doing it by yourself could mean this. I'm going to give a scenario. It could mean that you're in a community right now, but you're just not really there, if you know what I'm talking about. You're not really engaged. You're not really giving yourself to this small group or to this group of people. Maybe God's saying, "I want you to engage that now. I want you to flip that switch on." Or press play on the button that is currently paused. You see, sometimes we can be surrounded by people and feel alone. Because it's like life, right? What you give to it is often what you get out of it. Maybe God's saying, "I want you to give more to the relationships in your life." My personal story about small groups is this. I didn't like them for the longest time. And part of the reason I didn't like to join a small group for the longest time, some of it has to do with when you're a pastor, everyone expects you to lead and looks to you for the answer, and you just want to go in there and just be like, "I just want to be one of you. I don't need to do any of that right now. I just want to be normal, be one of you." And then some of it too is like you get in a room with people and sometimes, you know, personalities don't connect and stuff like that. But all of that to say, it took my wife and I a while to find really a small group, or, you know, that we loved. And it's happened a couple of times now. But about a year and a half ago, we started a small group here at Centerpoint. And I'm going to tell you, it is one of the best decisions I've made in this season of my life. Being a part of this small group has been so life-giving for me. And doing life with them and being able to text them when I'm having a hard day or a challenge, and like all of them within a span of just a couple minutes respond with a prayer or a word or something. And we do that for one another, and there's hardly a week that goes by that we're not doing that for one another. And that is the way God has called us to live our life, in community together. I'm so grateful for my small group. I bet there are many of you out there that have those stories too of friends that you're thankful for because you're fully engaged, you're authentic and a part of what God's doing. You see, community supports our spiritual growth. Maybe you've been going to church for a long time and you feel a bit stagnant or stalled out in your growth with the Lord. And you're wondering, what can I do? I'm reading my Bible as much as I can. I'm praying. And all of that's good because, see, there's an element to our journey that is definitely alone with God in His Word, hearing from the Holy Spirit, asking Him to speak to us. There is that part of it. But sometimes we need people to hold us accountable to the thing that the Holy Spirit speaks to us when we're alone with God. God is saying, "Now take this and go engage a community so they can help you grow, so they can hold you accountable, so they can be the ones to get you to that next level so you don't give up." Community can support the process of growth in our lives. I know it's done that for me. It's probably done that for many of you, but maybe some of you are sitting there and you're saying, I feel stuck right now. I feel like I'm going through the motions with my faith. And the Lord might be tapping you on the heart to say, it's time. It's time to engage a group of people that I have for you. I want to talk about the ABCs of community life or group life. And this helps me understand what a community can do for one another. The ABCs are this: A, accountability; B, belonging; and C, care. Accountability, belonging, and care. This is what communities do for people, for us. This is what a healthy church community does. Communities promote accountability by challenging us when we need to be challenged, by saying, hey man, remember that thing you said you were gonna work on? You need to do that. Or hey, I'm gonna call you this week to make sure that what you said in the group is actually gonna happen in your life. Or God asked me, God laid something in my heart for you and I just wanna check in with you about this thing. But holding each other accountable is how we grow. And that's what a community does for us. Belonging. The belonging part is just being authentically connected to one another. If there is one thing I know about every person in this room is that we want to belong. We want to matter, right? We want people to know us. In fact, I've heard it said like this: the thing that every person wants more than anything else is to be fully known and fully loved. That starts with your creator, right? To know that Jesus fully knows me and still fully loves me, that's pretty life-changing, right? That's amazing. And that's true for each one of you. Your Lord, your Savior, your Creator knows you and loves you for all of who you are, not just for part of who you are. He knows all of it. But then to take that to like the next journey is to actually get with a group of people who now get to know you for most of who you are, right? And still fully love you. That's a very powerful thing. And that's what belonging does. The third thing of the ABCs of a healthy community is care. Community provides care by compassionately serving one another with meals, with whatever the thing may be. We'll come and help you move that, or we'll be there when you're sick. We'll drive you when your car is not. Whatever it may be, communities care for one another. So the ABCs, accountability, belonging, and care. When you're in a meaningful community with others, we're more challenged to grow and become better versions of ourselves and to be more like Jesus. This is what a community does for each one of us. Point number three, healthy church communities produce unity in the body of Christ. Healthy church communities produce unity in the body of Christ. Our world needs to see an example of what it means for people to be genuinely united, genuinely together, and not united because this is what I can get out of it, but united because this is what I can give you out of it. It's a very different kind of uniting. When God says, I want you to go care for that person. I want you to call that person. I want you to just go sit with them. Have a cup of coffee. Just shoot the breeze. Read a scripture verse and whatever it may be. You see what's happening? You're giving to people. God has deposited things in us to give out. If he's not depositing, we won't have very much to give out. But as long as he's depositing in you, he's saying, now go give it out. And that's where we unify and coalesce and become one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, and then 25 through 27 says it like this. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. Verse 25. This makes for harmony or unity among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6 says this: always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together and with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to be one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all.
Amen.
Did you catch that?
Amen.
We are one in Christ. We are one. If you're in this room and you love Jesus, you are not my enemy. We are on the same team. It's time we start showing that to the world, right? Because that's the truth of who we are. But sometimes the messaging gets mixed up. Maybe the messaging comes because we feel we have to be louder or quiet or whatever the it may be. But I believe that through healthy community, through really getting involved in relationship with people in the church, we model something to the world. The world is looking for us. They're looking to see, are they really unified? Do they really believe what they're saying? You know, I've noticed over the years, I've had the privilege of leading quite a few missions trips over the years around the world to different countries. And if there's one thing that I love about a missions trip, which by the way, we got several coming up this summer. Talk to Nora if you want to go on one. But one thing I love about it is you get this group of almost strangers together in the beginning. And by the end of the trip, they're best friends. And here's what happens. Because along the way, you realize that God has given this group of people a mission someplace in the world. And because we're not in our own context, we're in a new context, we got to fully give ourselves to this thing and do it together. We need one another. And you become unified like that. When you get in a place where you don't know the food, you don't know the language, you don't know really anything about the area, the people you're with really start to matter. And then God's mission for you really starts to matter. So join a mission trip is what I'm trying to say. Also things like Serve Day, when we go out and serve our community, that sends a message to the world. But here's the thing, Serve Day doesn't work because one of us goes out and does it. It works because we do it together in community. So this is my final point. A loving church community is what a watching world is looking for. A loving church community is what a watching world is looking for. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 says it like this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You see, sharing God's love with the world, with a world that is people around us everywhere that feel alone and isolated and discouraged, they're hungry for true community. We have that. The thing is, are you modeling that? Are you showing that? Are you displaying that with your own life? God's given us the recipe. He's given us all the ingredients to make something beautiful that others want. Let's just say the aroma of Christ is really what I'm getting at. Do you represent him in that kind of way? Do people, when they're around you, think, I want more of that? You see, the world is watching us. Why is it important to care about the world? Some of you may think, and you know, I've been there at different seasons of my life. I've got my spiritual bags packed and I'm ready for heaven kind of a thing, right? But I want to remind you of something. John 3:16, a verse that most of us know. We often forget the first part of that verse. The first part of that verse is God loves the world. So if God loves the world, maybe I need to love it too. Maybe I need to love the people who are different than me. Maybe I need to display something to them that draws them to his only son who he sent for them, right? That is the message. And that brings me to Palm Sunday. You see, God sent his only son. Jesus had a wonderful ministry on earth with his disciples and has been the most transformative historical character the world has ever known. He split time in half, literally. But it was all for those final days. The main reason he came was to die for us. I was in Israel a couple of times, and both times I had the privilege of walking down the Mount of Olives, the same pathway that Jesus was on the donkey on Palm Sunday. And I just was overwhelmed with emotion for all kinds of reasons, but one of them is to think this was pretty much where my Savior entered into Jerusalem, knowing that he was entering in to die for my sins, to because he loved me that much. You see, Palm Sunday is a reminder of the selfless love Jesus showed by laying down his life for us. Today is the beginning of what many Christians, people of faith around the world call Holy Week. It's a holy week for all kinds of reasons, but it mainly is because it represents what Jesus did as he went in and entered Jerusalem, the triumphal entry on a donkey. And the donkey was very significant because it was symbolic of peace and unity. It was a humble donkey, not a beautiful horse, but a donkey he rode in. Through his peace and humility, he was building his kingdom the way God wanted him to, his community the way God wanted him to. And crowds gathered and palm branches were laid down and clothing and people were shouting Hosanna. And what Hosanna means is save us. They didn't realize fully what they meant when they were saying it back then, but they were basically saying save us, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. John chapter 12 talks about this. But the Old Testament prophesied hundreds of years earlier in Zechariah 9:9, where it says, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. Today we remember when Jesus did that, so that we could have relationship with him. And out of that flows the greatest kind of community we can have in this life. And it all starts with a relationship with our Savior. When I was standing on the Temple Mount looking at the Eastern Gates that Jesus rode through, when he rode into Jerusalem, he rode through what's called the Eastern Gates, and they're still there to this day. I was blown away at what I saw, and so was everyone else on our team. On the other side of the wall, the side that's inside the old city of Jerusalem, those eastern gates right now, it's almost like the enemy's doing something symbolic. They're chained, they're locked, they put fences in front of them, like as if nothing's gonna get through these again. That's what I felt when I was looking at that. And I was reminded of Palm Sunday. I was reminded of what it says in the verse we just read, where his return is drawing near, that Jesus will one day come through those gates again to set up his reign on earth. He will come again. He will bust through those gates. No chain will hold him back, and no chain will hold him back in your life. Whatever you're doing to keep him out, whatever you're doing to say, you're not getting through here, Jesus. You're not gonna see the real me. Jesus can bust right through. All you gotta do is say, come, and he'll come. And he'll change your life with the ultimate relationship. And then all of a sudden, this whole thing about community makes so much more sense for you. That's what today, what Palm Sunday represents for each one of us. And I pray that you remember that in your life. You see, it's time that we reflect on our own lives. How can we show that same kind of love to a world around us that's lost and without God's love? I've mentioned this before. Are we a club happy church or a kingdom healthy church? We're not about doing clubs here. This is not about me and my club. See, clubs always look inward. It's about us. Kingdom minded, kingdom healthy looks out. It's about out there. And when we get to do that in a community, look out, it's powerful. It's what changes the world. That's why we can say the church is the hope of the world. Right there, because in community together, we can show God's love and build his kingdom. We won't fully grow spiritually unless we're connected relationally to others in church. Is God saying it's time? It's time to re-engage that group, or it's time to join a group, or it's time to take the next step in my faith with other people. Or maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, I haven't even had a relationship with Jesus yet. I gotta start there. And maybe God's saying it's time for that in your life today. Time to surrender your life there today. You know, if you're missing out on being involved in a church community and you call Centerpoint your home, you are missing out on the best part of what church can offer. You really are. You're missing out on it. Like, would you go to a good movie and leave halfway through? No, you wouldn't. You'd see the whole thing, right? Would you go to a good coffee shop and not order coffee and just leave? No, you would order coffee. Or would you go to Hawaii and not enjoy the beautiful beaches? Of course you would. You're in church. Enjoy community together. That's some of the best of what God has. You see, community is not just a good idea. It's a God idea. It's God's design for you. Jesus has a dream for us, and it includes authentic community leading to real spiritual growth. My hope is that his dream that he has for you, and you know what his dream is? His dream is to see you become the best version of who he created you to be. And God has placed dreams in your heart that you're ignoring, that you're deferring, that you're thinking I'm disqualified for it. And he's saying, I want to remind you, I put those dreams there. Your best life is lived in a place of community to see those dreams come true. You know, we currently have 1,134 unique individual people that are a part of a group here at Centerpoint. That's awesome. That's a record number for our church. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But I know there's more. I know there's more. And I know some of you that are in that number, you need to flip the switch and really engage your group. And some of you that are not a part of that number, you need to take a risk and join a group. You know, I've heard and had it asked, hey, what's going on at Centerpoint? Why is Centerpoint growing? What's going on over there? And I truly believe that one of the reasons God is blessing our church is because for a church to grow larger, it has to first grow smaller. It all starts with community and how effective and healthy that is. As we close out this fam series today, I pray that God stirs something in your heart. Wherever you're at on this journey of community, I pray that God engages you. And if it's a relationship with the Lord, then there's no better time than now, because we're at our best when we're experiencing life with others in authentic community. Let me pray. Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning that doesn't know you. Let me rephrase it, Lord. If there is anyone here that doesn't know you as our Lord and Savior, and they're listening to this message and they're like, I'm tired of doing this alone. I need God in my life. I need Jesus. I need to know I'm forgiven. I can't even take the next step of just allowing other people in until I allow you in first, Lord. If there's anyone here this morning that's saying, today's my day, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to live that best life that we've talked about today. Would you raise your hand right now and I'm going to pray for you. If there's anyone here, raise your hand wherever I see that hand right there. Yes, thank you. Any other hands? All right. Anybody online, type, I need Jesus, and someone will respond to you. Lord, I pray for any hands that have been risen today. I pray for them. And would you just repeat this after me if you raised your hand? Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm tired of doing this alone. I realize, God, that I'm created for something more. Would you come into my life? Forgive me, Lord, for the things I've done that are sin. I'm going to choose to believe that you came, that you died for me, and that you rose from the dead. Would you surround me with a community of people, Lord, that now will help me on this journey to follow you? And for anyone here that needs to take the next step in your life with letting people in and being a part of a community wherever you are, I just want to pray for you real quick. Lord, I pray for anyone here where you're speaking to them right now about taking a next step in their life and allowing people, your people, Lord, to be a part of this journey, to be a part of their life so they can grow, so they can become the best version of who you want them to be. I pray, God, that you would deposit in their heart what the next step is for them. If it's joining a small group, if it's something else, Lord, would you speak to them right now? And I pray that as you speak, God, they would listen and they would obey. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Palm Sunday. Thank you for this week. And we look forward to celebrating Easter together next week in Jesus' name. Amen.